Day.
Hey, that's right, brother. Glory to God. How you doing, kids? Y'all can be seated. Some of y'all going, wash day? What in the world is he talking about? It's Lakota, the language of Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull. We do mission work with Native people all across the country, and we minister there among the Lakota people, and whenever we greet them, we say, how, kola, wakantanka, wanka, wash day. And it means, hello, my brother, we come in the name of a God of good news. Let me hear all of you say, good news. Good news. I figure that's why you're here today, amen? Amen. How many of you want some good news? Amen. How many of you know one of the keys to good news frequently is using the off button on your remote control? Come on, y'all. Because how many of you know CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, the women on The View, they're not going to give you good news. And why not? Because they don't know any. They don't know any. It's not their job to tell you good news. And so that's why I figure you're in church, is you've come to hear good news. Everybody put your hand up like that. Kind of lean forward. Sir, you don't have your hand up like that. Do it. Good, good. Everybody, kind of lean forward. Mm-hmm. Everybody say it. Good news. I'm here to bring some good news. As Royal said, my name's Kim Clout. As I look across the room, there's many of you who I've seen year after year after I've been coming here. Where did David go? David, the first service we did here, was that 91 or 92? 91. So 29 years ago, I did the first service. My wife and I came in here and did like three nights, I think, or two nights. How many of you were here for that first thing a long, long time ago? I'm impressed that you are. Amen. So I've been coming here over a quarter of a century. Let me hear you say, imagine that. A while. Been coming a while. And so I'm delighted to be here this morning. And I figure out front I'll address something in case any of you are unaware. Are y'all familiar with the fact that there's a virus going around? You know, I didn't know if you had heard that, but they tell me there's a virus. And the thing I marvel at is I'm watching like you are. How many of you have noticed, like never before in my lifetime, people are interested in staying alive? I mean, like never before, we're doing stuff to stay alive. Everybody say, stay alive. Stay alive. You know, we're wearing masks. I brought mine in. I wore mine in here until it was too hot. We wear masks. We're social distancing, right? And we're washing our hands. Let me hear y'all say, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Isn't it great now when you go to somebody, if you don't fist pump or you shake hands, you're going, I'm sure he washed it moments ago. I hope that's a residual that remains what your grandma was telling you for years, wash your hands. Isn't it delightful to know people are actually doing that? Why? Because we want to stay alive. Everybody wants to live. Say it, I want to live. And why are we doing these things? Because how many of you understand this carnal life, this fleshly life that we have, it's temporal, it's fragile. And you have to take care of it. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't understand that. I mean, I thought I'd live forever. How about you? Eat anything, drink anything, do anything. That was a long time ago. You know, now when I sit down, I go, oh. And my wife will go, what's wrong? I said, I sat down. And then a few minutes, I go, oh. And she goes, well, what's wrong now? I said, I stood up. So this carnal life, we have to preserve it because it's fragile. Because how many of you understand this life you have? Josh, how old a man are you? You're 11. So how many of you understand the life that Josh has is the life his parents gave him? Agreed? So I'm seeing brown eyes. He's got brown eyes. See, here's the deal. Your mom and dad gave you their DNA. When your dad's sperm joined your mom's egg and the first cell separation took place, everything was there as a blueprint of who you would be. So in other words, if your mom has brown hair, you probably do. If your dad is tall, I bet you are. If your mama has green eyes, you probably do. If your mama has curly black hair, you probably do. If your daddy is smart, you probably are. And if your daddy's ugly, you look like your mama. Glory to God. Everybody tells you, you look just like your mama. And there was much rejoicing. How many of you are glad for your mama? Amen. So here's the deal. The life you have, your parents gave you. And there's nothing you can do about that. And the life your parents gave you incredibly included death. Yeah, it's a sobering thought. At the height of all of our revelry, I had to bring up that word death. Because how many of you know, this carnal life has a discernible end. Even it has a discernible beginning, it's got a discernible end. Go to any cemetery, born on date, expiration date. So no matter who you are, your parents gave you a life that's temporal. It has an end. That's why you have to protect this life. That's why you should wear a mask. I had somebody say to me the other day, you're a preacher and you're wearing a mask? I said, yeah, because you know what? I have a car that has turn signals and I use them too. I have a car with brake lights. I don't say, I'm a man of faith, remove those brake lights. How many of y'all say goofy? Do whatever you can that enhances your safety and preserves this life we have. Agreed? But now it figures to me that if everybody wants to be alive, and that's all the news is talking about, what Jesus said ought to play really big right now. Because how many of you know Jesus is all about life? I went to Mercer University here in Atlanta. I went to Georgia State University, graduated there. Anybody here, Georgia State alumnus? You are? I am too. Big campus, all downtown, all concrete. Classrooms are like 6- and 8-story buildings. Classrooms, 400 or 500 people. But everything's concrete. There is that plaza area down there in the middle where bands would play on Friday. I don't know if you remember that. I'm probably older than you, but they had a big plaza area. It was the only area that really reeked of anything green. And so I go down there during a Friday on a pretty day, and you'd have 700-800 people down there. Now let me ask you, how many of you have ever wanted to be amongst a lot of people? You just didn't want to talk to anybody. Anybody here ever been there? Raise your hand if you've been there. That's where I was that day. I wanted to be in the group. Just didn't want to talk to anybody. And so telepathically, I was putting that information out. And there's this young man who evidently is not very discerning. And he came and sat. First of all, I knew you wanted to talk to me because he sat entirely too close to me. If it were these days, I'd have picked up a phone and, you know, hello, you know, and turned my back to him. But this is before cell phones, and so he's right there. So I did kind of turn my back, but I could feel his breath on the back of my neck. You know, and he goes, how you doing? I said, well, I'm just fine. He goes, I wanted to talk to you a minute. I said, I perceived that. He said, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Reverend Sun Young Moon. Now, again, some of these young people in here are Googling, who in the world is that? But if you're here and you've got gray hair, or perhaps no hair, you remember Reverend Moon. How many of you remember hearing about Reverend Moon? Now, for those of you not in the know, Reverend Moon was in Korea. He led a cult back in the 70s and 80s. He literally believed he was God incarnate. And he would send young people to proselytize in campuses across America and go in and try to tell people about what we started calling the Moonies. And so I realized that's what I've got here. I got a Moonie right beside me. And I immediately decided I'm going to take the Barney Fife approach to this. How many of y'all here with the Barney Fife approach? What is the Barney Fife approach? Nip it. You got to nip it in the bud, Ange. And so I figure I'm going to nip this thing right off. So he says, I wanted to talk about Reverend Moon. I said, well, let me just stop you right there. I said, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He goes, oh, we love Jesus. I said, really? Oh, yes. He said, Reverend Moon loves Jesus. I said, you do? Oh, yes. I said, what do you think is the most important thing Jesus did? He said, well, he was a great teacher. Hard to argue with that. But if you notice how everybody will acknowledge that Jesus was a great teacher. And it's kind of a backhanded compliment because even though they're acknowledging the obvious, he was the greatest teacher, it diminishes everything else he did. See, they'll say things like, he's a great teacher. He was right up there with Gandhi and Buddha. But I said, that is not the most important thing Jesus ever did. And he looked at me and kind of blinked. I said, you want to take another run at it? I said, what do you think is the most important thing Jesus ever did? He said, well, he made the world a better place. Hard to argue with that, right? Because how many of you know if you once were blind and now you can see, the world's a better place, right? If you were lame and now you can walk, what's the world? If you were dead and now you're alive, what's the world? Yeah. So wherever he went, the Bible says he went about doing good. He obviously made the world a better place. But I said, that isn't the most important thing Jesus ever did. I said, you're 0 for 2. I said, in baseball, they give you 3 strikes. Swing again. He said, we help people be their best. I said, that you're losing it, man. I said, that you're out. I said, because Jesus didn't say that either. I said, although he did all 3 of those things, that is not the most important thing he did. He goes, well, what is? I thought you'd never ask. I said, it's not my opinion, it's what Jesus said. I said, it's in John chapter 10, verse 10. I said, he said, it is the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have what?
Life.
I mean, you know, the word there is actually Zoe. Everybody say Zoe.
Zoe.
Let me hear you all over there. Say Zoe.
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 Sound booth. Very impressive. What does Zoe mean?
Life.
The life of God. See, this is why what Jesus said is so important. Yeah, your parents gave you life. That included death. Bummer. Buzzkill. Death? Yeah. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Zoe. The life of God. That's everlasting life. That's life without end. Jesus said, he who believes in me, though he die, he'll live forever. So it seems to me, while everybody's interested in being alive, wouldn't you want to go beyond just being alive now?
Amen.
And be alive forever?
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
Amen.
And that's why what you and I have, this message we have of Jesus, is so important now. More so than ever. Because there's more talk about death than ever. But we know the way, the truth, and the life. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Let me y'all say Jesus. Say it, shake your head. Say Jesus. Amen. Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen.
Amen.
So I figure that's why you're here. You've come today because you want to hear about the way. You want to hear some truth, and you want to know about the life. And so that's why I believe I'm here as well. For those of you who've never heard me before, my name's Kim Clout. Grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. My dad preached for 63 years, royal in 116 countries, literally the entire globe. His dad, my grandfather, preached 78 years. That's not how long he lived, that's how long he preached. Darren, he was married for 72 years to the same woman. Drop the mic. How many of you know that's God? You married to the same woman for 72 years? Had a smile on his face every day. So what I'm saying to you is I come from a long line of love. My family did gospel music all over the world. They're in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. I'm trying to tell you here, I grew up in church. So y'all are here this morning. Let me hear y'all say every morning.
Every morning.
10 o'clock. Say every night.
Every night.
7 p.m. My family did tent revivals. 7 days a week, we had church every morning at 10 o'clock, every night 7 p.m. I've had people tell me, well, every time they opened the church doors, we were there. I said, impressive. My grandfather built the church door. However, though my dad was a preacher and my grandfather was a preacher, I was rebellious. Just full disclosure here, I was rebellious. Any of you ever rebellious? Raise your hand if you're ever rebellious. And the rest of you liars. Okay, well, that's fine. To each his own. I'm just telling you, I was rebellious. And I grew up in a church where they were pretty strict about stuff. It appeared to me that everything that was fun, at least this is the way it was explained to me, anything that was fun would send you to hell. I think I've shared this with you guys before, you know. Like, if you went to the movie, if I came out of the movie theater, they were like, Kim, were you in that movie theater? Yes. Hell. Were you in that club dancing? Sort of. Hell. Are you playing cards? Yes. Is it Rook? No. Hell. How many know there's a dispensation for Rook? I think it's in Leviticus. But I grew up believing God don't want me to have any fun. And he gave me two parents, to make sure of it. From what I could see, that was their only role, was to keep me from having fun. In fact, I accused them of that several times. You just don't want me to have any fun. And so as a consequence, I couldn't wait to get out of my parents' house. Why? I wanted to be free. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Let me hear y'all say free.
Free.
Say it with some swag. Y'all, let me hear y'all say free.
Free.
I wanted to be free. I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Man, I wanted to be free. How many here couldn't wait to get out of your parents' house? I love how Josh looked at his parents. Really? How enlightening. And then he raised his hand. That was me. I couldn't wait to get out because I wanted to be free. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s. How many of y'all here grew up in the 60s and 70s? I've shared this with you before. How many of you in the 60s and 70s, we were all about free? Right? I mean, if your slogan is make love, not war, free. Can we agree on that? That's free. Make love, not war. In fact, our thing was if loving you is wrong. I like how some of you played that really well. You acted like, I've never heard that before. What? That's a phrase that's new to me. I don't know. See, the 60s were what they called the counterculture. And quite frankly, it was that era of rejecting authority that gave birth to the trouble we have today. Because all those people who were 16, 17, 18, and 19 then are now city council members, mayors, governors, all these people who are rejecting authority are now wanting to have it. Let me hear you say, imagine that. But you see, the problem with them is they don't know the way, the truth, or the life. If you're watching TV and you're watching the movements, I mean, we got American cities burning. We've got 60, 70, 80 days of rioting and looting every night in major cities across America. But how many of you know that hasn't changed the love of God? I mean, everybody shook up. What a great time to be alive, however, because the love of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the way He rolls. But people don't want to hear that today. They think freedom comes from a movement. You go out and march and hold up signs. They think that makes people free. How many of you know, a month ago, we celebrated the birthday of America. We celebrated freedom. America's 244 years old. We're now a month into that, almost exactly. And why was America established? You see, this is important. America is probably the only nation on the planet, everybody look at me, because I want you to get this. Probably the only nation on the planet that was founded on purpose for a purpose.
Yep, right.
Let's divide the room right here. All of you on this side. Let me hear you say, on purpose.
On purpose.
Let me hear y'all say, for a purpose.
For a purpose.
America was established.
On purpose.
For a purpose.
What was the purpose?
Freedom.
Specifically, freedom to do what?
Worship.
Worship. Now today, they've kind of twisted and turned that. And Royal, it's true, they'll say religious freedom. See, this wasn't religious freedom they came here for. Religious freedom is how we say it today. That social spin that allows everybody to be included. Those who worship Allah and those who worship the earth. And those who worship themselves. Selfie, 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 selfie. There was no religious freedom involved in that. It was freedom to worship the way, the truth, and the life. The one true God. It wasn't multiple choice. There was but one. Say but one. They came here to worship but one God. And they wanted the freedom to do that. However, the original Stretch Armstrong. How many of y'all remember that toy? Josh, did you ever have a Stretch Armstrong? Yeah? He'd really stretch out, wouldn't he? Well, the prototype for that was the King of England. Yeah, because his arm was so long, it would go all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. And from England, he could reach into the pocket of the colonists right here in America and take their money.
And they said, wait, that's my money. He said, no, it's mine. They said, no, I worked for it. It's my money. He said, not only is that my money, you're mine. What do you mean I'm yours? You're my subjects.
Your subjects?
Yes. What does that mean? He said, it means I'm king. And they said, well, I didn't vote for you. He said, you don't vote for a king. And they said, well, how did you become king? He said, my daddy said I was. Let me hear you say, imagine that. And so he thought he had authority over them because he was, air quotes, king. And though he took their money, he did not give them a voice in governing themselves, which gave rise to what remarkable phrase? No taxation without representation. And the people said, it isn't right that this guy is over there ruling and governing us. He's not our daddy. And so, on July 4th of 1776, our founding fathers declared independence from England. That's a big deal because England was the superpower on the planet. The superpower. And we defeated them. And we didn't even have an army. I mean, they called a militia. I mean, well, these were guys that were plowing a field yesterday. And they defeated the greatest superpower. Now, admittedly, that great superpower had very colorful red uniforms. That all you had to do was imagine a white dot and you got a bullseye right there. And we defeated them. Sent them back to England so that we could have freedom to do what?
Worship.
Who?
God.
The one true God. And so, if you read the Declaration of Independence, the second phrase in it says, we hold these truths to be what? Self-evident. What does that mean? It means I figure I don't need an audiovisual aid here. I'm not going to use pie charts or graphs to break something down for you that's pretty self-evident. Agreed? Say it again. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And what was it they felt was self-evident that didn't need explanation? That all men are what? Created what?
Equal.
See, here's the deal. We celebrate freedom in America. We celebrate equality in America. We celebrate liberty in America. But let's be real. In 1776, at the establishment of America, was everybody free? No, because I mean, we had some people here who were considered property of other people. Hard to call that free, agreed? So was everybody equal? Well, clearly not. And so we knew that's problematic. We've got to do something about this. Since America was founded on this idea of freedom and in a created equality, they said, we need to do something about this. And it took us roughly 90 years, but eventually we had a war. And who do we fight in that war? Each other. Let me hear you say, imagine that. Sometimes brother versus brother. There were battles that took place footsteps from where you're sitting this morning. But we fought so that all men in America could be free. On January 1st, 1863, the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln, signs into law the Emancipation Proclamation, whereby every man in America is a free man. Right? It's a big deal. But let's be real. Did that make everybody free?
No.
Did it make everybody equal?
No.
Because though we were calling them free, many of them still couldn't vote or own property. In fact, we're so big on freedom in America, we just don't fight for our freedom. We fight for other people's freedom. We fight for people we've never met so they can be free. Y'all look at me like, what? I mean, you can call yourself a freedom fighter if you fight so you and your family can be free. But how many of you know if you're fighting for somebody you never met, which we did in World War I, we fought in Europe so that people could be free that we not only we'd never met, that we never would meet. But men gave their lives for the freedom of others. 30 years later, we did it again. Went back to Europe. Stormed the beaches at Normandy. Why? Because they were eating Wiener Schnitzel in Paris. I mean, y'all say, that ain't right. Huh? You don't eat German food in the capital of France. That's what they were doing. And so we stormed the beaches and we liberated France from Germany, from the Nazis. In fact, there are men who were buried there the day they arrived. Thousands of U.S. civil men or military men gave their lives and are buried there today. Why? So that men and women they would never meet could be free. We're big on freedom in America. In the 50s, we went to Korea. We fought North Korea so that South Korea could be free of the communism that they had in North Korea. And how many of you know if we hadn't let men who wear suits who'd never had a gun in their hand tell what was going to happen, get politics involved, we wouldn't be dealing with the lunatic we're dealing with today over there. We should have solved the problem then. 10 years later, we went to Vietnam. Say or think what you want of that war. The fact is we were there to fight so that the South Vietnamese could be free from the communism in North Vietnam. Right? How about 1990? We went to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. Why? Because Saddam Hussein invaded them. We knew you don't go to your neighbor's house and start taking their stuff. We fought so that people could be free we would never meet. America is built on this idea of freedom. And yet, if you listen in the schools today, if you listen in the universities today, they would tell you America's about oppression. But you see, that's not the truth. I'm telling you the truth. America was founded on a principle of freedom. How many of you here have ever made a mistake? How many of you here have made the same mistake more than once? Well, that's because you're people. And a nation is nothing but a group of people. And so nations make mistakes. Sometimes the same one over. Sometimes twice, three times. And so it was with America. We kept trying to get it right so that we could go back to that original declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are what? But let's be real. Even after these wars we fought, didn't make everybody equal. Ladies, let's bring gender into it for a minute. Did you know that at the turn of the last century, women couldn't vote? I hear women all over the planet right now going, shh, shh, say it again. Tell me that again. It's true. Women couldn't vote. Susan B. Anthony and the women's suffrage movement struggled, protested, fought so that ladies, you could have the right to vote, and they had got that for you. But let's be real. Did that make you free? Did it make you equal? No. Because even 70 years after that, you could be standing next to a man doing the exact same job he was doing. You got paid half what he did. And when you asked why, they said, well, it's because you have estrogen. And he has testosterone. Let me hear all you ladies say, that ain't right.
That ain't right.
It ain't right. And so you fought to be free. And what did you do to help get that equality? Y'all acting like you don't know. You burned your bras. I mean, really, that's, look it up. Now, admittedly, I don't know how you connect them dots. I mean, wouldn't that have been something to have been in that meeting? Ladies, here's what I'm thinking. If we just burned our bras, that didn't make you equal either, did it? No. How about this? How many know we fought the Civil War so that no man could be the property of another man? But how many know a black man couldn't drink out of the same fountain as a white man in the 60s? Not the 1860s, the 1960s. 100 years later. And there's a woman named Rosa Parks who shook up the world when she said, there's 40 seats on this bus. I think I'll sit in whatever seat I want. And so women like her and the men of the civil rights movement of the 60s fought hard to make everybody free and equal. But can we be real here? Did that make everybody free and equal? And we've got all kind of rioting and looting going on right now. People burning stuff, tearing things down because they want everybody to be free and equal. But see, here's the deal. We got 244 years of evidence to prove no man can make you free or equal. No law can make you free or equal. Abolishing the police ain't going to make you free or equal. Huh? But we have people today who are so clueless about freedom and equality, they just think if we burn stuff, if we tear stuff up, that'll do it. Let me say something to you. Let me hear y'all say, break it down. Let me break it down for you. You will never have equality without God. Amen. See, here's the deal. He invented equality. Go back to the phrase. We hold these truths to be what? That all men are what? Have you noticed how everybody in America wants equal? Equal! No justice, no peace. We want equality here. We're holding up signs. We're marching. Everybody wants equal. Say it. Everybody wants equal.
Everybody wants equal.
But have you noticed nobody wants created? See, the phrase says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are what?
Created.
How many of you know created comes first?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. That's good preaching.
That's good.
See, here's the deal. You can't have equality without created. And that is what is wrong in today's mindset. Everybody wants equal, nobody wants created. Everybody wants me, nobody wants God. But you can't have equality without created. Just like you can't have justice without God's righteousness, you can't have equality without acknowledging God's creation. Do you know every human body, I think, has 206 bones. Anybody here in the medical profession? Isn't it 206? We're born with 260 or 70? And then a bunch of them fuse together as we grow until it actually goes down to 206. So you have 206 bones in your body. Look at your body there. Figure out, where are they all at? Do you know this? You got 970 miles of blood vessels. Not 970 feet. That'd be impressive. But I'm talking about from here to Michigan. 970 miles. And there are people out there who want you to believe that all that came from a bang. And you look at them and say, a bang? It's a bang. Yeah, but I mean, I got 970 miles of blood vessels. Well, it was a big bang. One word comes to mind when I hear that. You know what it is? Goofy. Anybody who's heard me preach before, you know that word. Everybody say goofy.
Goofy.
See, there are people out there that want you to believe that everything came from a bang. You tell me, what's that? Where'd they get an idea like that? Simple. Of the sheep. See, here's the deal. 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my
shepherd.
See, how many of you understand you follow shepherds? Anybody here knows anything about sheep? How many of you know you don't drive sheep? Anybody here own cattle? My wife and I have horses. We don't own any cattle, but I know if you move cattle, you get behind them and you drive them. Crack a whip. How many know you can't drive sheep? I mean, you get behind sheep and crack a whip and go, ah, you know what they're going to do? What did he say? I don't know. It's bad. It's bad. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can't drive sheep. You lead them. And the most powerful and popular psalm says, I acknowledge the Lord is my because I follow him. But here's the deal. Look at me. Today, if you're not following the shepherd, you know what that means by definition? You're following a sheep. See, why can't CNN, ABC, NBC, the women on The View, and all those people on Nightline and National Geographic tell you the truth? You know why? Because they don't know it. They're not following the truth. They're following other sheep. When you hear somebody tell you, it all came from a bang, just know this. They heard that from a sheep. And what's the problem with sheep? Well, how many of you know they're kind of dim-witted? I'm serious. The farm animal, the sheep, is kind of dim-witted. They're not particularly fast. How many know they don't have any camo? Let me tell you a word that has never been uttered in a group of sheep? Blend. They can't. Just blend. They can't. They stand out in contrast wherever they are. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have sharp claws. Can't run particularly fast. Can't protect themselves. And God said, that's what you and I are like. Wave your hands. I know that's right. Which is why you better be following the way, the truth, and the life. You better be following the shepherd. Because otherwise, tell me who you're following. Other sheep. And when they tell you it all came from a bang, you ask them, where'd you hear that? And they'll but at the end of the day, they heard it from another sheep. Well, I mean, it was in a book written by a sheep. Well, we read it in a law book that was agreed upon by a group of sheep. See, here's the deal. You don't want to follow sheep. You know why? Sheep are apt to run from anything. My wife and I, we not only work with the Lakota and the Dakotas, we work with the Navajo and the Pima and the Zuni out in the beautiful southwest of Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. I was in Utah at a place called Navajo Mountain. They're sheep herders. It's their only livelihood. They got 2,000-3,000 sheep that were out there. And when those sheep, let's say you got 2,000 sheep, there's like 8 sheep on the edge right here who looked and saw someone, oh, and started to run. Why? Because they're herbivores. What are herbivores? Plant eaters. And they looked and they saw a carnivore. What is a carnivore? No, they're not. Carnivores don't eat meat. Carnivores eat herbivores. And you didn't know that, but herbivores know that. And so when them 8 sheep saw a carnivore, the way they and they started running. Here's the deal. When those 8 ran, another 4,992 ran with them. Now you got 5,000 sheep running, only 8 of them know why. But the 4,992 that did not see or hear anything are running the same way the 8 that did. In fact, after they run a while, they go, what are you running from? Well, I don't know. I'm running because you are. They'll run off the side of a cliff. I'm serious. That's why you don't need to follow other sheep. That's why your TV has an off knob. Because when you listen to all them people giving you the news, trying to tell you, and I love this, they'll say, we feel the American public needs to know the truth. Let me tell you what they're saying. We're going to lie right to your face. Because let me tell you what they are not going to report on. Zoe. They are never going to tell you about the love of God. The life of God. That in the midst of death, Jesus has made a way. That none should perish, but all could have everlasting life. Not going to talk to you about that. You know why? Because they don't know it. They can't take you somewhere they've never been. They can't give you a drink of something they've never had. Come on, y'all. You want to live? Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Social distance. But if you want to live forever, follow Jesus. And in this time where everybody wants to be free, how do we celebrate freedom in America? How do we celebrate the 4th of July? Firework! Let's blow something up. How many of you know when they do this, it's because they blew the other fingers off? What else do we do besides fireworks on the 4th of July? That's right, we cook out. Yes, sir. You the keeper of the flame, David? You the keeper of the flame, brother? Amen. Rob, you the keeper of the flame? Amen. I like how she looked at him. You are, baby. Tell him he is. Tell him you are, baby. There you go. Keeper of the flame. Smoke a brisket. Smoke some ribs. Cook some hot dogs, a pork loin. Do it on the 4th of July. Do it at the lake, y'all, huh? And people all over America do that. Let me ask something. Does that make them free? You can smoke a brisket 20 hours. Do it all at the lake. Shoot fireworks, drink a light beer, and be in bondage. A month ago, it happened all over this planet. It'll happen today. People will do all of those things thinking they're free. because that's what a sheep told him. But that don't make you free. I told you I grew up in the 60s and 70s. They're all about freedom. How many of y'all remember Woodstock? Raise your hand if you remember Woodstock. Well, you know why you're holding your hand up that you remember Woodstock? Because you weren't there. You were 900 miles away. That's why you remember it. Huh. Only people who remember Woodstock were nowhere near it. Everybody was there, doesn't remember everything. Got up every morning going, whose pants are these? But you remember what Woodstock was supposed to be? It was supposed to be 3 days of love and peace and freedom. Michael Lang, who was the man, the mastermind behind Woodstock, is a friend of mine. And he told me, he said, you know what's crazy? He said, that first day by midday, he said, everybody'd run over the fences. We were supposed to charge people. You said, you talk about free. He said, it became a free concert. That's the truth. And people heard that, and everybody started getting on the interstate and going up there. And you know what happened? The interstate was so clogged, and people got so tired of the traffic. Check this out. 200,000-300,000 people left their cars parked on the interstate. Not on the exit ramp, not in the emergency lane, in the road, and walked to the concert. I think I told you this story one time. Because they wanted to get to the concert, and you couldn't get there by the road. But how many of you know, not only could the people not get there, the artist couldn't get there either. That's right. Trivia. Does anybody know who was the first performer at the Woodstock Festival? Jimmy was last. He played on Sunday when everybody had gone home. That's the truth, because his contract said he closes the show. They thought that'd be great. There was 350,000 people when it started. There was like 30,000 when he played. So who was first? The reason you may not know was he wasn't supposed to be first. In fact, he wasn't supposed to go on until late that night. But do you know why he was first? Because he was there. And they said, you're here, you're on. He goes, no, I'm not on. They said, you're on now. Go. No, I'm later. Go. You want to get paid? He said, I'm on now. And he went out there. His name was Richie Havens. And Richie said, I was supposed to do a 40-minute set. He said, I played 40 minutes, and I looked at the side of the stage, and they were going, stretch, longer. So he said, I started making up songs on the spot. That's the truth. And in fact, he said, I played one song for 20 minutes. He did. He played one song for 20 minutes till every string on his guitar broke, and he turned it over and just scratched the wood and kept singing. And can anybody tell me what was the name of that song? Freedom. Now let me ask you, was anybody there free? Was Jimmy free? He was off kissing the sky. In fact, if you look at the icons of the 60s, was Jim Morrison free? Jimi Hendrix? Keith Moon of The Who, was he free? Thought he was. But turns out, what was being sold to us by a long-haired sheep was in fact a lie. Everything was supposed to be free, turned out, was bondage. And I'm not telling you because I read that in a textbook, I'm telling you because I lived that. I did what everybody in the 60s told me was free. My night didn't start till I had 3 double shots of wild turkey. My mantra used to be, I got to get my heart started. I thought freedom was at the end of a line of cocaine. I can tell you firsthand, that don't make you free. That puts you in bondage. I couldn't wait to get out of my parents' house to be free, and I ran my life straight into a ditch. And I heard church people come around when I was in my ditch. Several of them stated the obvious, you're going to hell. I remember on the occasion I'd go to church for my parents, I thought I was doing them a favor. I mean, so conceited was I. I really thought I was doing my parents a favor when I would show up at church. And I take faith for you to believe this, but I had hair down to here. And I dressed wild and freaky. I delighted in shaking up church people. I still do. And I remember I'd come in there on Sunday morning, and as soon as I come walking in, I remember I'd hit the lobby, and the ushers, I called them the committee of the concerned. They would come over and try to cut me out of the herd. And immediately they questioned him again. Where you been, boy? You were in that club last night, weren't you, boy? You was in there dancing, weren't you, son? Listen to that loud guitar music. I bet it was hot and sweaty in there, wasn't it, boy? I remember thinking, y'all are good. Were you there? You're spot on. I said, it was hot and sweaty in there, wasn't it, son? And I'm showing my poker face, you know. Well, I don't know. Tell me, was it? Like, oh, it was hot and sweaty in there, wasn't it? And they said, you know what else is hot, son? Hey, y'all! Church I grew up in, hell, had two syllables. You know that's serious. Let me hear y'all say, hey, y'all! You know what's wild? I thought I was free. But I was in bondage. And finally, one of them had the wherewithal not to point out the obvious. You're going to hell. One of them said, your pit is deep, but his love goes deeper still. His love goes deeper than your pit. Let me tell you, that's what they need to hear in Seattle. That's what they need to hear in Portland. That's what they need to hear in Chicago and L.A. and Atlanta. And that's what we need to hear in Cumming, Georgia. That it doesn't matter how deep your life is run into, no matter how deep your depression, your despair, no matter how many people have hurt you, no matter how many things have gone wrong, his love goes deeper than your pit. And he'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. He doesn't do it from the outside in. People want to do that. Change your hair. Cut your hair. Straighten up. Say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You know what God changes? The part that no man can. He does his work from the inside out. Let me all say, that's good. Come on, y'all, say it like Andy does. That's good. Boy, we all wanted to be free in the 60s. Free love. How many married men do I have here? Raise your hand if you're married. How many brothers in the struggle? You talk to any of these married men, they'll tell you, love ain't free. That's a lie, right? Some sheep told you that. Ain't no such thing. Not to be happily married. But you see, nobody wants to talk about that today. Nobody wants to talk about freedom and equality. Because you can't discuss either of those without God. I'm going to close with this. You'll be delighted to know I'm going to close now. Everybody raise your right hand up like this and kind of wave it. Now do this. Take your right hand and just lean to the person next to you and kind of stroke them. Reassure them. Say, it's going to be all right. Tell them, say, he's not going to preach much longer. Did that make it better? Well, then wave at me. Say, take your time. Some of y'all waved, you just didn't say nothing. That's what some of y'all been thinking about ever since you got in here. What are we going to eat? Tell you this, time he gets done, there's not going to be no shrimp. Roast beef will be gone too. Potted meat and spam, that's all we'll have. See, here's the thing. Everybody in America wants to be free. Everybody wants to be equal. No president can do that for you. No movement, no mayor. Quit thinking that way. Only God. You see, he invented freedom. Is that in the Bible? Let me hear y'all say, is that in the Bible? Come on, say it like your brother-in-law would. Where's that in the Bible? Genesis 2. G-man, put Genesis 2 up for us, verse 15. One time I preached on this verse when I was here. It says, the Lord God what? Took. How many of you here have ever raised kids? How many of you here ever took them? Come on now, don't look at me politically correct. How many of you have ever took them? Yeah. Put your hand out there like you're going to take them. Let me hear you say the first thing. Say it, the first thing. Everybody over here, the first thing. Let me hear y'all. First thing a human being ever experienced was God taking him. It wasn't God stroking him. I love you. Here's your participation trophy. Yeah, but I didn't play in any of the games. Ah, you're breathing. Here's your trophy. Here's your tiara, Eve. Yeah, but she wasn't even in the give it to her. She's breathing. Here's your A. But I never studied or took any of the tests. That's all right. We give it all out. No. Say the first thing. The first thing a human being ever experienced was the authority of God. Everybody put your hand out like that. Make your hand kind of rigid, strong. And the Lord God took the man. What did he do? He put him. How many of you who have raised kids, after you took them, you put them? And then dared them to move. Dared them to even look at you. That's what God did. The Lord God took the man and put him. And where did he put him? To do what? Eat! Oh, I'm sorry. My church person rose up in me. I'm sorry. What did he put him in the garden to do? Did y'all say work? A four-letter word in church? How many know for many in America, that is a four-letter word? Work. But you see, God said, you're alive today, Adam, but you're going to want to be alive tomorrow. He said, the only way you can do that is if you eat. But the only way you eat is you what?
Work.
How mean-spirited. What a bigoted statement. See, that's the way it plays in America today. But that's something a sheep said. I'm telling you what the way, the truth, and the life said. He said, the only way you eat is you. And the Lord God put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Now look at verse 16. Everybody say the first thing.
First thing.
Everybody here say the first thing.
First thing.
Middle section.
First thing.
Put your hands up like this again. How many of you have sounds you love to hear? Anybody, raise your hand, don't just shout it out. What's a sound you love to hear? The ocean, that's cool. Water running. Now, any water. How many of y'all can sleep better if you hear water running? Come on now. Darius, what's something you love to hear? Music, I'm with you. I'm a guitar player. I love a Marshall amp on 10. In fact, all my amps go to 11. I love a really loud amp. A Spinal Tap reference, and everybody's going, what was that? How about this? How many of you love this sound? Any animal lovers here? Come on, you've heard that sound, haven't you? What is that? That's four-leggers running across the house. I love that sound. How many of you like babies laughing? Isn't that great? I like how I said guitar amp, and some of you are like, eh. And I said babies laughing, eh, that's all right. Let me go for the jugular. How many of you like the sound of bacon frying? And there was much rejoicing. That's right. I mean, you can have the mindset, I'm not getting out of bed. And then you go. Oh, yes. Follow my nose. See, here's the deal. What I'm trying to say to you is there's all kinds of sounds human ears hear that are wonderful. But none of those are the first sound a human ear ever heard. You have in front of you the first sound. Say the first sound.
First sound.
The first sound a human ear ever heard was what?
Lord.
A command. A command. Why is that radical? Because have you noticed nobody likes being told what to do? You're not the boss of me. I'm free. See, people think freedom means nobody telling you what to do. But what's the first thing a human experienced? The hand of God. The authority of God. What's the first thing a human ever heard? A command from God. But look what the command was. It's in quotes. I taught y'all one time, when something's in quotes, what's that mean? He said it out loud. So God literally said out loud to Adam, you are what? God invented freedom. This is the origin of freedom. Freedom didn't start in 1776, July 4th. That's when it started in America. But freedom started right here in Genesis 2:16. When God said, you are what?
Free.
What did he tell him he was free to do?
Eat.
To eat! And there was much rejoicing. Everybody wave your hand like a Pentecostal. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Some of you felt your baby jump within you right then, didn't you?
I felt my baby leap within me.
He said, we're free to do what?
Look what he said specifically. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.
What does any mean?
All of them. And in fact, that is a freedom they exercised. Everybody do this. You know what this means? It means choice. I mean, you could do this, or you could do this. You don't have freedom without choice. And in the very beginning, God gave Adam and Eve freedom because he gave them, drum roll, Josh, choice. Because look at the verse. It says, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. And then there's a semicolon. Anybody here pay attention during language arts? You did? What does a semicolon mean? That he stopped. He's just not done. It's a commuting. I'm pretty certain that the concept of a semicolon was devised by a woman. I mean, that's just my personal take on it. But experience has taught me that although I have stopped, I'm not finished. Now, I didn't understand this in the early days, Rob. How long have you been married, brother? Don't look at her. 20 years. I've been married about double that. In the early years, I made a rookie mistake because my wife was talking and she stopped. And foolishly, I began to speak. And then it was explained to me that just because I've stopped doesn't mean I'm done. Now, here's what's incredible. We're 40 years into this. And, Royal, I'm still wondering, when is she going to stop? We get into the car, and we'll start driving, and we'll drive an hour and a half. And all of a sudden, she'll go, am I the only one talking here? I said, evidently. And she says, well, why don't you say anything? And I'm thinking, when? And so God said, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. Pause. But then look at the B part. Bring it up, Grayson. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you'll surely what? Now, I've had people ask me, why in the world would he put a tree there he knew'd kill him? Simple. Because you see, without choice, you don't have freedom. No one in America could call themselves free if they weren't free to come and go as they desired. And that's why we fought wars, so that people had that freedom, choice. And you see, this is why this is critical, church. Everybody look at me. One day, everyone in this room is going to stand before God, and he will judge you. And there are going to be those that say, what gives him the right? Simple. Because you've lived your whole life choosing. And when he looks at you and decides whether your eternal fate is life or death, no one will go, I want a recount. This was stolen from me. No. You got that result because that was your from the first day to today, God has said to all of mankind, you will have what you and you alone choose. I've had people tell me how they've been hurt their whole life, been victimized. It's absolutely true. You listen to their story, it's heartbreaking. Some people, it's like they never had a chance from the beginning. They're abused and done wrong. But how many of you understand, nonetheless, they still have a choice as to how to deal with that? You can have the mindset for the rest of your life, I'm a victim. But you see, Jesus came so you don't have to be a victim. Romans 8 says, now you can be a victor. Yeah, but you don't know what's happened to me. Well, I agree. And you explain it to me, and I'm heartfelt when I tell you, I'm sorry, that never should have happened. You were done wrong. But I can't fix that, and I can't hold up a sign to change it. But let me tell you who can. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And incredibly, he can swap out your victim status for victor status. See, here's the deal. Every one of you today that are in this room, listen to me right now. You got up today with the mindset of one or the other. Either you're a victim or you're a victor. Some of you have a life story you can tell, and you see yourself either as a victim or a victor. You may be a victim. You may be a victor. Let me tell you what you will never be. Both. Stroke your beard. Go ahead, ladies. Do it by faith. I like how hers is long. She's over there. Hey, that's how I roll. You'll never be both. You can't be a victim and a victor. Which is why you can't say, I follow Jesus, but I do whatever I want to do. Because Jesus said, here's the deal. No man comes to me, to the Father, unless he goes through me. Unless he submits his heart to me. Incredibly, that's freedom. Let me hear y'all say, Shazam. That's freedom. Freedom's not a movement. Freedom's not a cause. Freedom isn't signs and marching. Freedom isn't slogans. Freedom is God. Anything else is a lie. Anything else a sheep made up. But God said, I've given you a choice. How many of you know throughout the Old Testament, he said to Israel over and over and over, I've called heaven and earth. We're here watching to see because I've set before you a choice. What is it? Life or death. Blessings or curses. Beloved, nothing's changed. Today, like yesterday, you will either choose life or death. You will choose blessings or curses. And you know what? Whatever you choose, that's what you're going to have. Bow your heads, close your eyes. The things I've said may seem a little radical, a little discomforting to you, and they should be. Because the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. That means your natural thought process is always going to reject the things of God. That's why the Bible says you have to change your mind. You have to have your mind renewed. So if you look at Scripture like a sheep, you'll miss it. The only way you can see Scripture properly is to look at the shepherd. The Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you know you can't make sheep lie down that are hungry? You can't make sheep lie down that are fearful? But if you're following the shepherd, you have no wants. You're fat and full. You have no fear. You're with him. And you lie down in green pastures. What is green pastures? What's implied there is more than food. It's everything you've ever desired. Every hope and dream you've had for your life, for your family, for your future. It's all found in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Beside still waters. One thing about sheep, they won't drink from a running, moving, raging stream. Biblical shepherds, as well as shepherds today, know if you got a raging river, your sheep will die of thirst standing 2 foot from water. It has to be dammed up so it's made still before they'll drink from it. That psalm is saying that if you follow the shepherd, you'll never know lack. You'll have everything you've ever desired for your life, and you'll have peace wherever you go. And here's what's incredible. You don't need to name a password. You don't need to fill out any forms. Representatives will come question you at your home. The Apostle Paul said, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Say one simple word, yes. As your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to contemplate this. When you say yes to Jesus, everything changes from the inside out. He starts with the most important thing. He changes your heart. He does for you what you could not do for yourself. He changes your heart. And all of a sudden you realize what you thought was forever broken can be fixed. What you thought was forever lost can be restored. So everything I've ministered on today is for one central purpose, for one central point in time, and that's right now. Because across this room, people are sitting here, but I realize just because you're in church don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're in church don't mean you know Jesus. Just because your parents are going to heaven don't mean you will. Just because your wife is a Christian doesn't make you one. Jesus told a man named Nicodemus, you must be born again. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one look around. I'm the only one in this room with my eyes open, and it's for a practical reason. I want to share with you an opportunity right now. Your life is at an intersection where once and for all the direction of your life can change. You can go from victim status to victor status. You can go from living in the past to having a future. You can go from being depressed to having joy. You can go from being angry to having peace. And it all starts with one word, yes. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, but you're ready today. If you've tried everything else, I had tried everything else. I figured, what have I got to lose in following Jesus? I've followed everybody else. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you've tried everything and none of it did it for you, and it never will. I'll say it to you this way. Jesus is the only thing I've ever encountered in my life that was better than what anybody told me. Better than what I was told. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come to the front or stand up. I'm just going to pray for you right where you're seated. But if you're here today and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you want to move from victim to victor, from death to life, I want you to do something simple. Right where you're seated, just raise your hand where I can see it. I just want to pray with you. Do it right now. I see you can put it down. I never rush because I know there may be more than one. So I'm going to ask a second time. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart, but you're ready today, I'm just going to pray with you right where you're seated. But if that's you, just raise your hand where I can see it. Who else would say, this is for me? This is for me. Just high enough where I could see it. The night I got saved, the man had to ask three times before I responded. And so I'm going to ask once more as well. See, I used to think I'll get saved when I'm 40. I'll get saved when I'm 50. And then three of my buddies never made it to 18. And I knew, I don't have a promise of tomorrow. And neither do you. The Bible says you don't know which way the wind blows. How can you plan tomorrow? But Jesus holds today. And that's what you and I have, the now. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, is there anybody else? Just raise your hand where I can see it right now. The Bible says when just one person says yes, every angel in heaven rejoices. We've got one adult here today. I want everybody in the room to pray this prayer out loud with them right now. Father, I thank you for loving me. For sending your son to die. That I might live. I believe that. That by his death, I have eternal life. And by his resurrection, it is assured. I know he did it for me. And I receive it today. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. In Jesus' name. Church, can we give God glory for this person this morning? Come on. Come on.